بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، الحمد لله، the topic is the issue of parental responsibility in the raising of children. I was just now in Atlanta teaching a course on Sirah, and inshallah we're planning to have the same course on Sirah today called Sirah Solution Workshop, which will be here inshallah November 9 and 10. So please make a note, Saturday, Sunday. It will be 2 hours before Zohar, 2 hours after Zohar on both days inshallah. So please come. The one of the people there, he asked me a question. He said, how can we get our children to follow the sunnah? Right? How can we get our children to follow the sunnah? I said, very easy. He said, how? I said, you follow the sunnah. There is no other way. I cannot say, I will follow something else and I want my children to follow the sunnah. Won't happen. How can I get my children to follow the sunnah? By following the sunnah myself. Because children listen with their eyes. Children do not listen with the ear, they listen with the eyes. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. So you can say anything you want, the child is watching to see what you do. And he will follow what he's seeing, and he won't follow what he's hearing. So if you want your children to follow the sunnah yourself. If you want your children to go to the masjid to pray, you go take your children. You want your children to, for the ladies, you want the girls to wear hijab, you wear hijab yourself. You want the children to speak respectfully to you as a parent, you speak respectfully to your parents and to other elders, the children learn from that. If I treat my parents or if I treat some elder people without respect and I want my children to treat me with respect, it will not happen. It will not happen, right? Children learn from personal example. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the tarbiyah of children the only fard on the parents, for which you will be accountable, right? Everything else, including their food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Nan, nan, nan, we feed them." Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't kill your children. Allah feeds you and the children. But as far as tarbiyat is concerned, it's your responsibility. The responsibility of the parents. Now, in the tarbiyah, the first and foremost things, the first thing is to inculcate, to raise in the child the khashyat of Allah. The concern for the pleasure of Allah. Which is, the other word for that is taqwa. Make the children muttaqun. How do you make the children muttaqun? By inculcating the khashyat of Allah. Always, they're very simple. How can I inculcate the khashyat of Allah? By making one line, one word, one sentence, your what we call in Urdu takiya kalam, which is something which you say all the time. And that is, will Allah be pleased with this? Will Allah be pleased with whatever it is? Will Allah be pleased with this? Take it to any extent you want. If I'm eating my dinner, will Allah be pleased with this? Right? Very simple. The benefit of that question is, when I say, will Allah be pleased with it, then automatically Allah will be pleased with anything which is according to the sunnah of Rasulullah. So the sunnah also comes in automatically there. Will Allah be pleased with my eating? As long as my eating is according to the sunnah, then I have to find out what is the sunnah of eating. What should I eat? I must eat halal. How must I eat? I must not eat till the food is coming back out. No. Keep some space, eat with my right hand, eat in a way which is dignified, and so on and so on. Same thing, clothes. These clothes shall I wear? will Allah be pleased with it? How will Allah be pleased with it if this is according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Should I do this business? Should I go there? Should I go here? Should I learn this, learn that, this school, that college? Whatever it is, the only one question, this is very simple, only one question: will Allah be pleased with it? Whatever it is. I'm driving my car. Will Allah be pleased with my driving? Allah will be pleased with my driving. You might say, well, how is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be brought in driving? He never drove a car. The sunnah is brought in by noting that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did everything in a responsible way and in a way that did not harm anybody else. Right? So if I'm driving my car and I'm driving on a road which has a 30-mile speed limit, I'm going on that road at 50 miles an hour, then this is not according to the sunnah of the Nabi alayhi salam. Right? It's not according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If I am parking my car, what is the sunnah? Same thing. In a way which is not inconvenient, which is not harmful to anybody else. So if I'm parking on somebody's lawn, if I'm parking in somebody's driveway, across the driveway, across the gate, all of these are things which are harmful to others, which Rasulullah ﷺ would not have done. So when we say the sunnah, we don't mean the exact thing. You might say, well, I'm not riding a horse, I'm not riding a camel, I'm driving a car. No, it doesn't matter. That's not the actual data is not the issue. Is what do I understand from this? I understand that I must behave in a way which is beneficial for all concerned. One of the simple things I ask people is, you know, when we pray in any masjid, you would have noticed, people usually, especially the regular ones, people who come for every prayer or at least 3-4 prayers, they usually stand in the same place. I mean, in our masjid, we don't have any reserved spaces for anybody, but this is human tendency. Normally, if I am praying in this place, then my tendency will be to come and pray in the same place. So I ask people, I tell them, you are praying every day in the masjid. So somebody who's praying next to you, usually the same guy is praying next to you every day. Do you know his name? Simple question. Do you know the name of the person who's praying next to you? And I can tell you there are people who pray, may Allah bless them, 5 times a day. They pray year after year after year. There's a person who's praying next to them. When the person dies, they don't know who died. Right? We say, Fulan bin Fulan died. We say, who's that? He's the guy who prayed next to you every day for the last 20 years. Now, reason is, if I do not even know the name of the man praying next to me, how can I be concerned about him? I don't even know him. I don't even know his name. How can I say I'm helping him? How will you help him? You don't know what he needs. So how will this ummah happen? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's biggest, I mean, every time I say biggest, I always think, you know, there's something bigger. But one of the biggest of his mu'jizat, one of the biggest of his karamat, the mu'jizat, is the formation of the ummah. Imagine in a society which was highly racist, which was highly tribalistic, right? Like the 7th century Arabia, even today, if you go into the Middle East, everybody, you know, this is Lublani, this is Suri, this is Iraqi, this is Fulan. They don't even say Arab. So those days, even more. That society, Rasulullah ﷺ converted that into a sense of brotherhood, as understanding of brotherhood, which is unbelievable and unheard of and impossible to imagine. But he did it. He made a slave, ex-slave, the brother of a chieftain from the Arabs. Many of them like this. How do you do that? By emphasizing the common thing which we have, which is Islam. Right, just take a, if you take a picture of all of us sitting here in this room, there are at least, in my view, I don't know the nationalities of everybody, but I think at least we have 5 or 6 different nationalities of people here. It's unbelievable. You won't believe it. Many times, some of my friends who come here from the churches, they come to see the mosque and all that. Do you know what they are amazed at? They say, look at the diversity in this place. He said, in our church, there's nobody. If it's an African-American church, you have only black people. If it's another church, you have only white people. Nobody else. He said, you have got, I don't know, 10, 15 nationalities, all kinds of people from different races and different countries. He said, Alhamdulillah, this is because of Islam. This is because of Islam. Islam is the thing which makes us all one. It doesn't matter, black, white, this, that, belong. None of that matters. What matters is, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That we are one because of the deen of Islam. This is something to inculcate in the children. So what we are doing, this maktab here, we are teaching a curriculum, alhamdulillah. We've got Islamic studies, we've got Quran and so on. Alhamdulillah, this is very good. We have it and we're doing well. But my goal of this maktab is akhlaq, is manners, is dealing with people. I don't care if the child is a hafiz and he cannot speak respectfully to his parents, that the hifz is no use. The child may get a first in class in Islamic studies, but if the child does not know how to deal with elders, he comes into the masjid, he's standing there, sitting there, feet up like this, we have failed. We have failed. I said, we will hold ourselves accountable based on the manners of the children. The akhlaq is the number one thing, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of teaching children of this age. The rest of it will come. Because the books we are teaching, the child can teach, can learn at home. You can teach at home by themselves. The children can learn. Those books are meant to be easy to read and easy to understand. We are not teaching any rocket science here. Quran also, once he knows, he can read the alphabet and he understands some rules of tajweed, he can read on his own. Akhlaq is what we want to teach them. We want your children to be such that when they go on to you, you should be delighted, mashallah, my children, after coming to the maktab, they are so well behaved. That is how it should be. I want to end by telling you a true story. I was in South Africa and they took me to see a madrasa. So after we did the tour of the madrasa, they collected in the auditorium. And it was a girls' madrasa. So all, only girls. And I think the age was from 6 or something to 16 or 17. So all ages. So in this whole madrasa, I'm seeing all of them. And they're all wearing hijab. Some have niqab, but every single girl is wearing hijab, sitting there. So the director of the madrasa, Nazim, he said to me, Sheikh, guess how many of these girls are Muslim? I said, what? He said, this is a madrasa. They're all wearing hijab. What do you mean, how many are Muslim? He said, 60% of these girls are not Muslim. 60%. Only 40% are Muslim. All of these, 60% are not Muslim. They are Zulu. They are Khoza, they are Shangane, and all different African tribes. Not Muslim. I said, then why are they here? They said, because their parents say, first of all, they say, your education that you give is very good, so we want our children to learn. Said, secondly, they say, our girls come here, and when they come home, it's like a new person. She's so respectful. She is so kind, she is serving the parents, she is serving, she is helping around in the house and everything else. And he said, the same girls, their friends, they are on drugs, they have their boyfriends, they are all over the place. Whereas these girls are so good, we want our children to be there. So I said, what if they accept Islam? He said, parents say, no problem, let them accept Islam, we don't care. As long as they have good akhlaq, this is what we want. He said, so I said, did you ever have a complaint? He said, yes, one day. He said, what complaint? He said, one father came and he said, I've got a complaint. He said, what's the complaint? He said, my daughter learned something here and made me spend some 10,000 rand in the house. I said, on what? He said, to put a water shower in the toilet, next to the toilet, to wash for his tinja. So she said, she learned it here. And she said, we never had this before. Now I had to go and install because she made a big noise. So our teacher, they were all laughing. So the teacher said, we are sorry. He said, I'm only joking. Good, very good. Good thing you taught them. Akhlaq. Same thing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill this whole effort with khair and barakah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill the children's hearts with the khashyat of Allah and the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hubb of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make those children a means of sadaqah jariyah for all of you, inshallah, and for all of us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam bi rahmatika.